this last song kind of go along with this afternoon's message and thoughts. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter 4. And we're ready for the 23rd verse this afternoon of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. But in reading this, read with me verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And then in verse 17, that ye walk, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto uncontrolled lust, lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Well, the flesh is greedy. Isn't it? Isn't it greedy? Well, it wants what it wants, doesn't it? But ye have not so learned Christ. That's not what you've learned about Christ. If you're His, you've not learned that about Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. You see, the only thing we've learned about Christ is truth. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. As we looked at that last week, we said, yeah, they are deceitful, aren't they? Does that make you think that is so good and that is so wonderful? But the end thereof is not. It's deceitful. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We have been learning then. Actually, in this whole chapter, but especially since verse 17, that we need to be renewed. Verse 23. And this, verse 23, this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, is in stark contrast to verse 17. It is a strong contrast with verse 17. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's a stark contrast between the two. This verb in our text in verse 23, be renewed, is in the present tense. It was present tense then. It was present tense the next year, it was present tense. It was always in the present tense. And today it is still in the present tense. And tomorrow it will still be in the present tense. So it denotes an ever continual process. Being renewed. with the putting off of the old, we now have a mind to serve the law of God. Before we didn't. We didn't have a mind to serve the law of God and to serve it perfectly. We would have said, well, there's nobody that can keep that perfectly. That would have been our reasoning and thoughts then. Furthermore, we didn't have the desire to do it. But now we do. Look what the apostle said in Romans chapter 7 on this subject. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. He said, but now ye are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What's he talking about? In the spirit, in that new man that is in us, we should serve the law of God and delightfully serve it and keep it. Keep it perfectly. And so this he says in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with keeping in mind everything that he said prior to this, between verses 6 and verse 25, about desiring to do that which is good, but not doing it. And doing that which he hated and not doing that which he delighted in. And so he sums it up this way. So then with the mind, I myself, with the mind, with the heart, with that new man that is created in me, I serve the law of God. And I do it perfectly. That's the desire of the new man. And we delight in it, and the intent of the new man is to do it perfectly. To do all that he has commanded me to do. But with the flesh. The law of sin. Yeah. How many of you here got that battle today? How many of you here today got that with the mind, with the new man, with the heart, the new heart that God has given you, which is born of God? You desire to do all that he commands. You desire to be the best you can be for him, for his honor and glory. You desire to walk in holiness and righteousness. But with the flesh, we're constantly battling the flesh of sin, its deceitfulness to do the works of sin. So we said this is an ongoing thing that's being renewed in the spirit of our mind. It's a daily, it's a continual thing. Being renewed is a continuous action. It is not just a day by day. It is a moment by moment thing. And we're told, well, we'll get to it. But this renewing is day by day. It's renewed daily of the Spirit of God because it's God. God's Spirit dwelling in us, renewing us. This renewing of the mind results in that hunger and that thirsting for righteousness. Don't you find yourself hungering and thirsting to be righteous? To be holy? As God expects? Oh, to the point that we despise sin. We hate sin. Hate it when I don't do right. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Here's another reason why we hate it when we don't do right. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. And have put on the new man. Yeah, amen. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. That is the heart, the mind, as it's described in Scripture, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. You see, that new man, that new heart that He's been given is renewed after the knowledge of the image of Him. It's created in His image. And that's why you come to 1 John chapter 3 and you read here that which is born of God cannot sin. It cannot sin. That new heart, that new mind, that new man cannot sin. But this body of flesh, we battle sin. And I yield to it more than I want. More than I like. Just as the Apostle Paul said in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. Hey, He hath put a new song into my heart. Amen? Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 40. These verses we're going to read. Bless my soul. They've blessed my soul for years and years. He said in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I'm so glad He heard my cry, aren't you? Yes. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Praise God! He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I mean, I sing His praises, I sing His mercies, and I try by the life which I live, I try to magnify and praise His name and let people see the mercies of God upon my life. Don't you? And that's so important for you to understand here at this juncture because of what He says next. Many shall see it. That is the praise unto our God. The praise which we say with our lips, but the praise which we bear in our life. Of His grace and of His mercies in our life. And many shall see it and fear. Stand in awe and reverence and shall trust in the Lord. You see, praise God that He hath put a new song in my mouth. Songs of praises wherewith it can praise Him not just upon my lips, but in my life as well. Not only that, we now hunger. We have a new song. And we now hunger and thirst after righteousness. The 42nd Psalm in verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth, so longeth my soul after Thee, O God. Is our longings for God. Is our longings to serve Him. Is our longings to please Him. Is our longing to be like Him. As He desires us to be. Is that our longing? Is that what we're thirsting after? My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, you can just hear the psalmist say, but more than that, Is that the song? Is that the prayer on my lips to God? I've thought about that sometimes. Sometimes I have to say, boy, I don't think I'm thirsting after God as the hart panteth after the water brooks. Not like the psalmist said here. Boy, that'll cause you to stop and think, won't it? It does me. Look at the 63rd Psalm. The 63rd Psalm. In verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Oh, do you rise up in the morning early, longing for God, longing to see God, longing to see His power manifested and displayed not only in your life, but in the lives of others, in the lives of those who are unsaved out there. Is that our longing? Is that our prayer to God? Psalms 107. The 107th Psalm. Look with me here at verse 9. For He satisfieth the longing soul. And filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That's my God. That's what He did. Are you hungering for Him? Are you thirsting for Him? The scriptures we read, are you thirsting for Him as the heart panteth after the water brooks? Are you hungry for Him? Are you hungry to be fed of Him? Have your thirst quenched? That verse there says He'll fill it. He'll fill it. The idea and the thought there with the filling is as a little bird in the nest. And you ever seen, watch little baby birds in a nest? And they're there, and their mouths are open like this, you know? And they're just waiting for mama or papa to come along and fill it. Is that the way our mouths are? For God. God, come along. Come on, fill me, God. You said You would. Fill me. Fill me. He said He would. Turn with me to bring it to the New Testament now. Turn with me to the 5th chapter of Matthew. In verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, there's another one of the promises. We sang this morning, standing on the promises of God. At the promise. You hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you shall be filled. You see? There's a filling in this life, yes. Right now, there's a filling in this life. If you're hungry and thirsting after that righteousness, He will fill it. And there's a sense in which one day, we're going to be filled completely. We're going to be completely full.
And continually hungering and thirsting for Him, and Him continually filling it. Wow, won't that be something?
You see, here's the point. Right now, I don't always hunger and thirst after righteousness as I should. Oh yes, this new man does. This new man does. But this flesh grows weary of that
says to him, man, come on, fella. You go to church all the time, you read the Bible. You can just miss this one time, can't you? Don't we battle that with the flesh? Yeah, this flesh gets weary of doing good. You see, but not the new man. Oh, he delights. He delights in us sitting there in the morning, early morning hours when it's quiet, reading the Word of God and digesting it, looking for something to fill our souls and bless our souls, take with us through the day, maybe share with someone else and be a blessing with them. See, he delights in that. The flesh doesn't. Oh, come on. Let's get on with it. You don't have to do it today. Well, yes, I do. I need it. I need it day after day. You see. So it is a daily process. Turn with me to another very familiar portion of Scripture. And if you'd have had any forethought as to where I'd be going, you knew that, well, sometime in this message we'd end up here. Well, the time is now, Romans chapter 12. When we talk about being renewed, well, this is one of the popular passages of Scripture that we go to. He said in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just reasonable service. It's just what's expected of us. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And how are we transformed? How is this body, how is this life of mine transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we are transformed as we renew our mind daily. Best place I know to get renewed is here. But we don't have services here every day. So when we don't come here, right here is the next best place. And you know what? Another process of renewing your mind day by day. Scripture memorization. I know, that's difficult, isn't it? It's work. But that, I find it renews my mind. It renews my mind. You'd be surprised, these verses that we're committing to memory, how many times I think about them. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God. The faithful God. You'll be surprised how many times I think that about that. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Wow. You'd be surprised how many times I think about that. The righteous cry. And the Lord heareth. And delivereth them from all their... I thank the Lord for that verse. I love that verse. Because this life is filled with troubles. What are we going to do? Cry out to the Lord. And we're His. That verse says, He hears and delivers us from all our troubles. Isn't that a blessing? I praise God. I praise God that the day my heart was crushed, Now, he saved my soul. You see, he crushed it. He crushed my heart. That's the Bible.
Ezekiel talks about he'll break up that stony heart. Jeremiah talks about, is not my word as a fire, and as a hammer which breaketh up the stone, the rock. Yes, his word came to me in power, and it crushed this heart. He gave me a new heart. Saved my soul. Now when I'm troubled
in this life, I can cry out to him, and I have the assurance that he hears and delivers me out of all my troubles. Bless his name. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish,
at the very thing we've been talking about, though this flesh, though this outward man, we have that desire inside to do perfectly the law of God, to obey it perfectly, to be righteous and holy before Him. And though this outward man perish, though this outward man fail, and he does, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You never lose the inward man. You never lose that salvation. You never lose the new man. And every day it's there with you, leading you, directing you, moving you on. Striving to be holy and righteous before Him in love.
And get this. Just as our salvation is the work of God, it's the work of God. It's the work of God.
Our life now is the work of God from before the foundation of the world.
Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, our text book, in chapter 2. We weren't saved by good works, but we were saved to be a bearer of good works. That's what verse 10 tells us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
I don't know why God saved me, but I'm glad he did. Well, I know why he saved you. To be a bearer of good works. We're his workmanship, created unto good works. That was his purpose in us before the foundation of the world. Was to be a vessel of good works unto His honor and to His glory.
Wow. And I have to hang my head in shame as I think about that one. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Another very familiar portion of Scripture. In verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. This is our salvation. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We've been washed. We've been purified.
And that renewing that takes place in us, that day by day renewing that is there, it's the Spirit of God in us. That's what that verse just said. Renewing of the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Isn't that something? And so what did
is it any wonder that David, when he had been made to realize the horribleness of his sin? Yes, as a saved man, he committed a horrible crime, two horrible crimes. If you were an Israelite, we would say there are two horrible crimes today, would we not? In chapter 51 of Isaiah, verse 10, when he cried out, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You see, he desired that and he longed for that. So my intent daily is to ask God that I might do works that are pleasing unto Him. Works that bring honor and glory and praise unto Him. In other words, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. At this moment and at all moments of the day. Turn with me back to Romans chapter 8. We've been dancing around it all afternoon. We'll quit dancing. We'll get right to it. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Well, I got to start with verse 1. That's a blessed verse. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation. It doesn't stop there, though. To them which are in Christ Jesus. Doesn't stop there. There are many folks that said, "Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm in Christ." But the next phrase is absent from their life. Is it absent from our life? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are we walking after the Spirit of God? Or are we walking according to the dictates of the flesh? If it feels good, do it. Well, that's what I want to do. I've had
people tell me, "I can't help it. I can't help what the Bible says. I got to do what I got to do. I got to do what I think is right." Well, that tells you right there they're wrong. Because what man thinks is right is not what God thinks is right. You see, God is right. Every man's a liar. God is true. Not man. Verse 6.
For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, being led by the flesh, is enmity against God. So, going back to our text, why would we want to walk as other Gentiles walk?
Why would we want to walk in the manner of life, the manner of behavior that we did in times past? Because that way of life is enmity against God.
But he that is spiritual minded, is life and peace. You see,
and not to re-preach last week's sermon, but you get that former manner of life was the manner of life that was walking while we were dead. And our end was death. Total separation forever and ever from God. Why would we want to go back and walk that way? That's the argument he's using here. To be led by the Spirit. To be spiritually minded. That's life. That's peace. Life and peace. Let's go there for a moment. When you're doing wrong, and you know it's wrong, are you at peace? You didn't follow the Spirit, did you? You weren't being spiritually minded. And it's not peace. It's not peaceful. But oh, when we know we're walking according to His paths, according to His Word, we're walking the straight and narrow. That's peace. And peace brings what? Joy. Joy. Joy and contentment, doesn't it?
Yes. What a place to be. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1. A lot of good in this first chapter of Peter. 1 Peter. Yeah, actually there's a lot of good in the first chapter of 2 Peter too. They're both wonderful chapters. But look at verse 13 of this first chapter of 1 Peter. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird afresh is what that means. Gird afresh. And gird means to bind. Bind by surrounding. When you bind something, you surround it. So, gird afresh. Bind by surrounding in a new form. That's literally what that means. Bind by surrounding in a new form. Not according to the old way and the old manner of life. Be renewed and be gird up the loins of your mind. Be bound around in a new way, in a new form. And that which is new, the way which is new, the way which is unto life and peace. Romans 8:6 said, mind that is being led by the Spirit of God, as this is the work of God. And it is. It's the work of God. And as we desire it, and as we yield and we submit to Him, James chapter 4 says, and I don't want to lose my thought in turning here, but James chapter 4 in verse 7 I think it is. Yes, submit yourselves therefore to God. As we desire this and as we submit ourselves to God and we resist the devil and he'll flee from us. We should pray to God. We should get on our knees and pray to God. As did David. We read to you, David, there in the 51st chapter. We ought to pray to God for an increase of spiritual light and knowledge, strength, joy, comfort, and for fresh supplies of His grace. Do we really realize about His grace? Do we really realize that His grace is manifold? That is, for every situation,
every trial, every problem, God's grace, He has a grace for it. There's no trial that has taken you, but what He doesn't have is grace for it. And if it comes to the time that your body is riddled with cancer and you're laying there on a dying bed, God's grace is there for that too.
Amen.
I've seen it in His saints. And yes, the thought of that in this state frightens me. Having to go through that. Lord, just take me home. Don't let me go through it. But I realize that if He calls upon me to go through it, His grace is there enabling me to go through it. That's what He does for His children. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. You see, there comes that verse again. And I hadn't even planned that verse here, but through memorizing it, there it is.
It's there, it applies. Brothers, oh yes, we need to go to Him. Go to Him in prayer. Earnestly desiring. Not just half-heartedly. Well, the pastor said this would be a good thing to do, so maybe I'll do it. You know. No! We ought to desire, we ought to crave it.
As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after Thee, O God. God, help us. Give us
grace. Give us strength. Give us joy. Give us comfort. Give us all these things where we stand in need. Well, next week we'll go on with the next verse. Verse 24. And it deals with, again, put on. Put on the new. Put on the new. All right. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in a word of prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You for Your greatness, Your goodness, for Your grace, Your love, Your mercy to me. I once was a child of wrath, child of disobedience. As Your word says, I was dead in trespasses and sins. But praise God, Your Spirit quickened me, made me alive. Now in some small and feeble way, I desire the precepts of God. I desire to walk in Your way, in Your righteousness, in Your holiness. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You would create in me such a desire as we find expressed by the psalmist in the 42nd chapter. Oh, is the heart panteth after the water brooks, that my soul would so pant after Thee, O my God. And I would find Your grace and Your supplies of mercy abundant unto me. For each member,